The Race of Faith 2018. Number one, remember. Number two, resolve. Number three, rejoice. Fauja Singh was born in April 1911. In 2011, he received a card from the Queen of England congratulating him on reaching 100 years of age. When he was 92, he completed the Toronto Marathon in 5 hours and 8 minutes. When he was 101, he did the London Marathon. It's amazing. He did the Toronto Marathon again in 8 hours. Amazing. When asked what was the secret of his longevity, he said, "I drink plenty of water. I get early nights to go to bed to sleep well. I eat vegetables. I keep moving. And I pray." Last year, 2016, at the age of 106, he officially opened the Birmingham Marathon. I want to remind you that according to the New Testament, the Christian life is a race of faith. Actually, it doesn't have anything to do with early nights, water, vegetables, or keeping moving. It's to do with faith. The Bible tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. The Bible says in the Old Testament book of Habakkuk and in the New Testament book of Romans, the just shall live by faith. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and made it plain that every single believer is to walk by faith and not by sight. And the Christian experience is the experience of coming to faith in our Lord Jesus Christ by hearing his gospel, believing his gospel, repenting of our sins and turning to him, and day by day placing our confidence and faith in him in this journey from our spiritual birth to the time we reach the glory lands. You remember that the writer to the Hebrews was writing to Christians who were particularly discouraged. They wanted to pack in their race of faith. They wanted to go back to the easy believism of institutionalized religion. They wanted to go back to Moses and back to Aaron and back to the tabernacle and back to the feasts and back to the law. They didn't want to run this race any longer. This race is too long. This race is too difficult. My flesh is too weak. The temptations are too strong. I'm never going to be able to complete this race. The writer to the Hebrews writes to them and says to them, you must realize that Jesus is far more superior than Moses or Aaron or angels or the tabernacle or the feasts or the ceremonies. And if you focus your gaze and fix your attention upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, he will lead us safely home. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 11, he starts to tell us about this great gallery of men and women of faith who, despite their difficulties and struggles and heartaches and failures and sins, completed the race. And as he begins chapter 12, he begins by saying, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which so closely clings to us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. This year, 2018, if you and I are going to run this race of faith, number one, let's remember. Remember this so great cloud of witnesses. You remember Mo Farah running home to this enormous roar of support and encouragement. Come on, you can do it. The Bible tells us there are many men and women who have gone before us, who amongst the spirits of just men made perfect, surround the throne, look down from the turrets of heaven to you and I on earth, and roar us on. Look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Abel's there, and Noah's there, and Abraham's there, and Sarah's there, and Isaac and Jacob is there, and Joseph is there, and Moses is there, and Samuel is there. Jephthah is there. Can you picture them? Here's Abraham. Keep going. Keep going. I fell and failed, but I've made it by God's grace. Here's Noah. Yes, those 120 years of building were really difficult, but I kept going and I've made it. Keep going. Joseph, my family disowned me. I was rotting in a prison for years. You can keep going in this race. And of course, it's not just Old Testament saints. Here's the Apostle Peter. He will be leaning over the turrets. If anyone made a mess of things, I did. I denied my Lord, but by his grace I was restored. And I've completed the race. Keep going. Here's the Apostle Paul. He said, listen, all of you here, none of you have got the skeletons in your cupboard that I had. I murdered believers. I am the chief of sinners. Yet I completed the race and I'm here among this so great a cloud of witnesses. And here you are facing difficulty. And Polycarp looks down and says, I was the first Christian martyr. There's been many sins. We made it to heaven. And here are you struggling with your husband or with your wife or with your family. And here's John Wesley. None of you have had your hair pulled in public. Like I was by my wife. Here's F.B. Meyer. I'm welcome in every home in England except my own. Yet we've made it to heaven. And others you know who last year were in this congregation. Or years ago we've known who've moved from the shadow lands and into the glory land. And who right now, right at this very moment, though you feel discouraged, though you feel let down, though you feel as if your knees are buckling, though you feel weak, as though you can't go on, not another mile, not another step. They roar out and say, remember, we have made it by God's grace, and so will you. Remember the great cloud of witnesses. I read a letter this week by Leslie Jarvis. It moved me. It deeply moved me. Leslie Jarvis, Jonathan's father, died just a few months ago. He wrote me a letter. Part of it was typed. The other part was handwritten. Urging me to press on. He's now amongst that great cloud of witnesses. And many you know. Remember. Number two, resolve. Resolve. Number one, to lay aside. Number two, to run with endurance. And number three, to fix your gaze upon Jesus. Look what it says. Lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Lay aside every weight. It is said that Fajr Singh, when he first turned up for his training session, his first training session came in a three-piece suit. Of course, he was given lightweight sneakers and tights and a vest. But can you imagine someone turning up to a marathon? maybe an Olympic marathon, and they come in their three-piece suit and their shirt and tie, and they come with a bowler hat and an overcoat, and they come with an umbrella. And you say, what are you doing, man? Oh, well, I'm preparing for any and every eventuality. I might meet someone important along the way, so I thought I'd wear my three-piece suit. It might be cold, so I thought I'd put on my overcoat. It might rain, so I thought, you know, I'll have my brolly. And I've got my brogues on just in case there's puddles. You know what you're told? Take them off. Take them off. For the Isthmian Games, you remember, they would run naked. Look at men and women running today, the lightest of shorts, hardly any socks, the lightest of trainers, the vest on. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Take off those legitimate things that keep you from being committed to Christ and living for his glory. Do what William Booth did that day in London and get that piece of chalk and draw the circle and step in the circle and say, everything that's in this circle belongs to him. Learn to take the secular and turn it to the sacred. Say that anything I do, anywhere I go, whatever I do it for the glory of God. Wherever I am his ambassador. I am his witness. I am the agent of his omnipotence. Wherever he places me, whatever he asks of me, I'm going to do. And I'm going to lay aside that sin that so easily besets us. What sin besets you? Is it eye gate? Ear gate? Where the besetting sin enters in? Is it heart gate, attitude, outlook that is your besetting sin? Is it mouth gate, the things you say about other people usually? What is that besetting sin that plagues you? Lay it aside for this race of faith this year. Do you remember what the Puritans would write? Lord, take from me anything that keeps me from thee. Give to me anything that will draw me to thee. Deliver me from myself. Give me thyself. Lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Number two, resolve to run with endurance. Sitting in this room somewhere is my close friend, the coach, Steve Highfield. I'll tell you what, he's one of the best men you'd ever meet. I remember when he was training me for a marathon. We went to the Dublin Marathon. He warned me before the race began. Watch for Phoenix Park and the road just after it. Because as you get to Phoenix Park, it's like this. And I'm telling you now, this is what most people look like. Hardly any conversation. Hardly any smiles. They were hitting the wall at Heartbreak Hill. But they were persevering. They were running with endurance. The Christian life is not a 5-minute dash. It's not a sprint. It is an endurance. It is a marathon of all marathons. And many dangers, toils, and snares are along the way. When John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress, he made it very clear. There's a hill of difficulty and a slough of despond, and there's a valley of humiliation. There's a fight with Apollyon. Not only so, you could be caught in Doubting Castle and beaten by diffidence. You might even go to Bypass Meadow when you're so near heaven. You have to run with endurance. You have to keep on keeping on. Resolve. Not to go out, but to go on. Not to give up, but to press on, onward, upward, forward, higher. And the secret, fix your gaze on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the author and finisher of our faith. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end. The Lord Jesus Christ who endured the cross for us. The Lord Jesus Christ who lived the life we couldn't live and died the death that we deserve to die. Bore the punishment that we deserve. The Lord Jesus Christ, fix your eyes on him. Some of you know whom this hall is named after. It's a man by the name of Ernie Morris. And some of you have heard this story before. The first time I met Ernie Morris, I thought he was weird. I was so wrong. He would sing like this. I thought, well, that's a bit odd. He would face the wall, oblivious to whoever was in the congregation. I thought, he's a bit odd. How wrong can you be? A spirit-filled man, a man of prayer who would write me epistles. The first time I met him, he said, I've been praying for you. I said, I'm not worthy to be a pastor. Don't be looking back. Don't be looking in. Don't be looking out. Don't be looking at people. People are going to fail you day after day, time after time. Look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He's the author and perfecter of your faith. He's the only one worth looking at. He's the only one worth fixing your gaze upon. And do you know what happens in a marathon? When you come to a marathon and you're absolutely worn out, you begin to turn a corner and you see a tape. And somehow or other, as you see the tape, you begin to lift up your head and you begin to run like you've never run before. You thought you had no energy left. But in the life of faith, when we see the tape, we see Jesus. Because he's the perfecter of our faith. He's the one who brings us safely to heaven. Resolve to lay aside, to run with endurance, and to fix your gaze on Jesus. Number three, rejoice. Rejoice that after the pain comes the prize. Rejoice at the joy that our Lord Jesus Christ had when he endured. Well, it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Here's our Lord Jesus Christ. He's born of a virgin. He's laid in a manger. It's cold and dank and damp. He's born in Bethlehem. Hardly anyone's ever heard of it. Blink and you'll miss it. At the time, just after his birth, remember, he has to flee to Egypt because Herod wants to take his life. Remember, he's raised in Nazareth, a tuppence-halfpenny town. Nobody good comes from Nazareth. Remember how he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He comes unto his own and his own received him not. Remember how one day a kiss of a traitor who he thought, you know, is one of his disciples. And then there's Peter. I'll never deny you. I'll never walk out on you. He denies him. Then there's the disciples. They desert him. Then he's stripped naked and hung between heaven and earth, nails in his hands and in his feet, and a crown of thorns upon his brow, and a spear in his side. And he screams from the depths of despair and from hell itself, my God, why have you forsaken me? If you're going through any difficulty, if you're facing any disappointment, if there's anyone doing your head in, look to Jesus. Focus on Jesus. It says, for the joy that was set before him. He endured all this so that he could see the travail of his soul and be satisfied, so that he could present with joy the multitudes of men and women for whom he lived, for whom he died, for whom his atonement has brought men and women to peace with God and to everlasting life in heaven. He endured the cross, despising the shame. But look now, he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Because, friend, remember, the crucifixion gives way to the resurrection. The cross gives way to the crown. The pain gives way to the prize. The highest place that heaven affords is his by sovereign right. As King of kings and Lord of lords, he reigns in glory bright. And you know, my name, your name, from the palms of his hand, eternity will not erase. Impressed on his heart it remains in marks of indelible grace. Yes, I to the end shall endure, as sure as the earnest is given. More happy, but not more secure, are those glorified with him in heaven. We can rejoice. Our salvation has been paid for on the nail in full. He was delivered for our offenses. He's been raised for our justification. He's our great high priest interceding for us now. He is preparing a place for us. And what's more, the gates of heaven will swing open. And what's more, the trumpets will blast. We'll fix our eyes upon Jesus. And the sufferings of this present time will be proven not even significant compared to the glory that awaits us. This year, run the race of faith. Go on. Don't pack in. Remember the witnesses. Resolve and rejoice at the prospect of the joy of heaven that awaits us, secured by Christ himself. Let's stand and sing.